What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Hey, this is Jake Owen, and this is Good Company.
Welcome to Good Company, a podcast where we talk about everything under the sun. Friends, good times, and life. We in good company. Now, here's your host, Jake.
What's up, y'all? It's Jake. We are back with Good Company. As you know, every other Tuesday we come at you with some really interesting individual that I have happened to come across in my life and share great stories that are positive and make people smile and happy and also kind of shed some light in the inside of my life that you might not get to see out on the road. So this week, I've been waiting for this day for a very long time to introduce you to someone that I have mentioned throughout my career, but I'm going to introduce you to the beautiful Miss Becky McElwain. Becky, how are you today?
I am fabulous.
Listen to that. She's got two bottles of water in front of her. She is ready to go, just in case. She's a little parched, I think. She's wearing a beautiful floral outfit today. And is this typical bank attire?
Some days we are a little bit more casual. We do the business casual thing going on, but I've got some appointments today, so you stepped it up a little bit.
You didn't just dress up for the podcast?
No.
Can you see how much I dressed up for the podcast?
You look pretty awesome. Very laid back.
So this is Becky McElwain. She is she's my banker. I guess, can I say that?
Yes,
guess that's
you
what
can
it
say
is.
That.
She's my banker. My story throughout the years has been that I met Becky. I came to town in 2004, I believe it was. And I didn't really have any money, that much money. I just had a little bit that I had enough to start a bank account. And I thought to myself, well, if I'm going to start a bank account, I might as well start one on Music Row, because maybe if I go to somewhere on Music Row, they'll know other people in the music business, because at the time, I didn't know anyone. And luckily enough, I'll remember pulling up in my Toyota 4Runner that I drove to town in off of 17th Avenue at the AM South building, and I walked in, and that's where I met you, Becky.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of the story has been misconstrued throughout the years as to kind of how my life started in Nashville. But I have to go ahead and give you 100% of the credit as to getting the ball rolling for me.
Well, I think I was just fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time.
Or I was fortunate to be in the right place at the right time.
Well, I mean, the person who finds somebody that is potentially going to make it in the business is also lucky, because it's one in a million. I mean, you see people come and go all the time, and it's like everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a song to pitch. Everybody's got a guitar to play. Everybody's got their gig. And so you take your time and you listen to everybody. And, you know, some people you're just like, keep working at it. You know, you don't tell them that, but you're thinking it. And you wish them well, but then every once in a while you just find somebody and you're like, wow. And
well, that day I came in and I remember you asking what I was in town for. And I had mentioned that I was just, trying to make it in the music business, probably just like anyone else around. And you asked if I had happened to have a CD or something with me. And sure enough, I happened to have one. So I ran out to the car and brought it back. And as the story goes, it wasn't but about a day or two later, you called me and said, "Hey, Jake, it's Becky from the bank. I hope you don't mind. I'll never forget this phone call from you. You said, I hope you don't mind, but I passed along the CD you gave me to someone at Warner Chapel Music Publishing, and I hope that's okay." And I couldn't believe it. I was blown away, so blown away that when we hung up the phone, I don't know if I've ever told you this or not, but I literally picked up the phone and called my mom and dad. I was like, "Mom and Dad, you're not gonna believe this. Like, I've made it. Like, somebody found me," and that's not exactly what happened, but you did. You passed it along, and do you remember? Is that kind of how it went?
Yes, I mean,
because that music I gave you was terrible.
It was not.
I feel like it was.
No, I wish I still had the demo. I'm kind of ticked off that I never got it back because I asked for it, but I never got it back. Because I'd really like to listen to it.
Oh, you literally gave him the copy, so you don't even have a copy of it.
No, I don't even have it anymore. I do remember that 8-Second Ride was on there.
Yeah.
And I believe...
I wrote that song when I was 18 in college. 19, actually. I was on a bar stool sitting there playing at Potbelly's, and my brother would give me a hard time about always writing songs... there was also a song on that album, I believe, that I gave to you. It was called All of Me. And I wrote this, it's like a very lovey-dovey song about, I'm going to give you all of me. You know, I'm not the greatest man in the world, but I'll give you everything I've got. And my brother used to give me a hard time about, man, I'm tired of you writing all these songs all the time that are these mushy girl songs. He's like, you got to write one for the guys. And at the time, I'd written the 8-Second Ride song because Jared spit tobacco all the time. Mom and Dad are listening to this. They're probably not too proud of that. And it's not that they don't know, because he still does it now. But he would always, I'd get in his Jeep that he had at the time, and he would always say, "Jake, watch out for the cup there, man, that I left with the spit in. I want you knocking it over." And it was just so nasty. So in that song, I said, "Climb on up, but honey, watch the cup that I've been spitting my dip inside," which people have also misconstrued that many, many times. But back to your story, Becky McElwain, banker. So that song is on the album I gave you.
It was. And when you actually released that, the lyrics were changed.
Yeah, I had to change them because of what people thought they were hearing.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
And one of the lyrics in there was, "She do-si-do'd across the floor."
I did use the word do-si-do in there.
And you changed it.
Yeah, I think at the time when it came out, people were done do-si-do-ing.
Yeah, they were done. They were done. So
they were two-stepping, or they were just walking in the door, I think.
Yeah. So anyway, that night when I left work, I said, let me just pop this in the CD player and listen to it on the way home. I want to see what this guy's got.
Lucky me.
So I was listening to it, and then when I got home, I talked to my husband. I'm like,
Rick?
Yes, my husband Rick. Said, "Man, you got to listen to this." And I think I went home and put it in the stereo for him to listen to. Can't remember for sure if I played everything on there for him, but I'm like,
did you have a margarita while you were listening?
No.
No?
No, I was driving, remember?
Well, I mean, it's when you got home, When you got home with Rick.
Oh,
I know you
no,
like margaritas. Like, that's why I was asking you.
Yeah, no, I didn't. No. No, I was probably getting ready to cook dinner, so just popped it in the player and went around the house getting dinner ready, whatever. But I was like, I got to call somebody tomorrow. And so the next day when I got to work, I was making phone calls. And
that's unbelievable.
That was, I think, actually the very next day I delivered the CD over to
my Warner Chapel.
At Warner Chapel.
And that's what's so crazy. And I cannot thank you enough. I know I've told you this a million times, but I wanted everyone out there, because people don't believe me when I tell them that. They're like, wait a second. So your story, you went to a bank and gave up. And I think people are like, it was a bank teller or something. I'm like, no, I was starting this. And I told them the story, and people don't believe me. So I was so excited to have you in today to kind of tell this your version of this story. And it's really wild. I remember, so that happened. So the guy from Warner Chappell calls me literally 3 days after she told me someone might call me. And he asked me to come over and start playing him some songs. And really and truly, that is how the ball started rolling for me in Nashville. I mean, if that hadn't happened, there's a good chance I could still be like trying to knock on people's doors right now and getting people to give me a chance.
Probably not. You'd probably already.
But here we are sitting here on a Monday morning. How crazy is this? How ironic is it that here we are the Monday morning that my song is number one in the country?
Yes!
It's my seventh number one, lucky number seven, and I got lucky Becky in here today too. So this is like, this is serendipitous. That is so crazy.
That is awesome though. I mean,
are you,
who would have thought?
Not me. I mean, I knew that I wanted to do this, but I never knew that it would happen the way it did. And I think that's like most people's lives. I mean,
right.
And getting back to yours, how long have you been in the banking business?
Oh, gosh, you don't even want to know. It's over 25 years.
So in that amount of time, I'm sure you've met quite a few other people that are singers, songwriters,
yes,
producers, anybody that comes to you that starts a bank account. And
yeah.
What's your advice? That was something I want to ask, too, because I know that I could kind of pull from what I've learned from you and what you've kind of told me through the years. But for all the people that you meet or people listening right now, that moved to Nashville to try to make something of themselves. I mean, I don't think it's as easy as just going to your bank and giving her a CD. It doesn't happen that easily. But what is there anything that you've seen consistently throughout the years that you kind of can point a finger at and say, I think this is maybe something that you can do? Or
keep your nose clean. That's the biggest thing. If you're going to go out there and you're going to work hard, you've got to kind of keep your nose clean and stay. If you're going to be in the party crowd, don't be the party. Like,
right.
You know, if you keep your nose clean and you're out there and you're working hard and you're doing your thing.
I like to party.
Well, I know you do, but you keep your nose clean, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know.
I don't think people realize that, and that is the truth. You know, it is large of a town that Nashville has become. It's also a very tight-knit small town,
yes,
which is evident with the fact that you were able to make a quick phone call to someone at Warner Chappell that knew that, and you know, your opinion was valid. And so they thought, well, let's call this kid Jake. And that's kind of how my world started. But as you said, I've seen it 100 times, mm-hmm, where some friends of mine have moved to town and they just kind of get caught up in the wrong circles. And the same way that you can go down a good path with someone helping you, you can also go down quite a negative one.
Right. You got to surround yourself with the good people. It's, you know, like good company. You've got to have yourself surrounded by good people.
Hey, that was a good shout out for us.
I know. I did good with that, didn't I?
You did. That's actually really good.
PR.
That's right.
So I'm not just a banker. I can do PR.
So, but what's interesting, I think, for Becky is she's seen throughout the years. So when I came to town, I didn't really have anything. And I'll never forget when I got to come to you and tell you that I got a record deal. And she was so excited. At the time, you had switched from AmSouth over to Pinnacle, mm-hmm, and you had a new office right there in the roundabout, I guess, right?
That one was still AmSouth.
That was still
AmSouth. I was still at AmSouth, yeah.
Okay. And then when you left for Pinnacle, that's when you went over to West End.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
But yeah, I remember sitting in that office because you had told me stories about, I think, like, was it Tim? You had a Tim McGraw or Faith Hill poster on your wall. And I remember when I went in there seeing it on her wall, I thought, you work with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, you know? And so, you told me stories about, I guess, and I felt like I'd found, like I wasn't messing around anymore, you know? I felt like she gave me an opportunity, but when I'd go sit in that office and see that she had a poster of Tim McGraw and Faith Hill on the wall, she must know what she's talking about.
I can fake it really good.
just kidding. You have, though. You've helped me so much throughout the years, and whether you're at AmSouth Bank or Pinnacle Bank or Good Company Bank, no matter where you go, that's where I'm going, Becky, because you are good company, and that's why we have you on here. And I've thought about that so much. I was thinking about that driving down here this morning, about how much my life has changed since you gave me that opportunity. And I'm driving downtown here today in my nice car, and not that that's what it's about, but I've thought about by maintaining a clean nose, as you mentioned, and being smart and surrounding myself with the right people, I've been able to really work hard and focus with the great folks around me to help me get to this point in life. That I mean, you helped me with my first loan for buying. I'll never forget when I bought my townhouse. I was super nervous. Like, you know, yeah. I come from a family. You've met my mother and father, and my dad's really strict and stern, and he's always taught me, you know, hard work ethic and being frugal and things. But I was really nervous. I mean, at the time to buy that first townhouse. And you've just seen me go through all these phases of being the new kid to getting a record deal to I remember like buying my first truck when I got my record deal. I was so excited. I bought this stupid jacked up white truck. And I've always wondered that about Becky because she does get to see the stuff that I waste my money on or not or make investments.
You do sit there and you're like, really?
You were laughing at me the other day when I came in to get something notarized from you because Becky was explaining, I'll let you, in your own words, she said that I tend, in the early days, to lose things quite often. So I would come to her, like, every weekend and need a new debit card.
Yeah. He loses his wallet a little bit. But it's okay.
Yeah, I tell people a lot that I don't ever remember where my wallet is, but I can remember every word to like a Snoop Dogg song. I don't know
well,
how
see,
that
that's
happens.
A musician for you. That's a musician for you.
It is.
Those who are so creative don't remember the details.
What made you, what got you into to banking? I mean, what got you to not only, I know, but you sit there and you shake your head as if that's not something that's exciting or anything, but it really is. I mean, I don't think you give yourself enough credit for doing what you do, not just for me, but for anyone else in this town that I mean, at the end of the day, money for people is really what they're working for to support their families and to be able to have confidence and trust in someone like yourself that I literally can go to the bank and see you and talk to you and you help me out the same way you're helping, I'm sure, hundreds of other people. That's gotta be fulfilling for you.
Well, I have kind of a weird story. I was actually gonna go to paralegal school. And tested for it, got really high scores. They were like, yeah, we want you.
You're a good typer?
Oh, I'm a really good typer. But I was, and I'm a good researcher. And then I suddenly one day was like, hey, I don't want to be sitting here doing all this work. And then some attorney gets all the credit for it. So I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. So I'll just go work temporary for a little while. And then I'll figure out what I'm going to do about college and all that stuff. Started making money, and I'm like, wow, this is pretty good money. And my dad told me once upon a time that if I ever got a bank job, that I would make good money and have a career for the rest of my life.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand. When you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
So I started in the very back office of a bank. I wasn't doing the mailroom or anything, but I was doing data entry. And so that was like next to the lowest job you could do at the bank. And I started just working my way up from there. And I was at a bank called First American here in Nashville. And on Memorial Day weekend, we sold to AmSouth one year. And we came in on Monday morning before the bank could tell us we had been sold to AmSouth. It came across all the news media that we had been sold. So we all came into work and we're like, okay, what's going to happen to our jobs? So one of my friends, while I was still working in the back office, I was in a loan office at that time. So I was doing loan documentation and stuff like that. A friend of mine who was working on Music Row called and said, hey, if you're in one of the groups that needs a place to go out in the offices, call me. I've got a spot for you. And so I made the move out into the offices at the Music Row branch and started my music industry career there and stayed there until I moved to Pinnacle. So I was with...
How long had you been at AmSouth Bank when I walked in and met you in that position?
In that position, I had been about 5 years.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. So not very long. I was still considered a newbie in the industry.
Yeah.
Because 5 years isn't very long.
Right.
Yeah. So I had done all the back office work, and I could tell you how to do anything in the back side of the bank easily. And I had learned everything in the office world, too. But I had been learning all of the industry stuff and went to all of the nightly parties and events and things like that. So, yeah. It was good times.
Yeah. So we're talking to Becky McElwain, who helped me basically start my career in Nashville. I mentioned earlier that I gave her a CD when I first met her, and she handed it off to someone else, and that's what got the ball rolling. So she's telling us now about her years in the banking business. So you're married to a great man, Rick. I've got to know Rick over the years. So because you're a banker, you've got to be like the head of the household when it comes to like dealing with money, I'm assuming. Rick's probably like, you just deal with it, Becky. That's what I would do.
Yeah, he pretty much just hands me all the money and says, you take care of it. Like, he has an account that he maintains for himself, and, you know, he just takes care of it.
Right.
The best he can.
And he fixes up his race cars with it?
Yeah, he doesn't use any of our own money to do his race cars. He
really
works out of his race car shop and takes care of building go-karts and things like that to supplement his racing.
Yeah, so Rick, this is a really cool story too. So getting to know Rick and Becky throughout the years. Rick is a police officer here in Nashville. And so throughout the years, Rick is a huge NASCAR fan, like absolutely huge. And before the whole Kevin Harvick situation, who was Rick's guy?
Bill Elliott.
Okay. Bill Elliott from Georgia, correct?
Yes.
What's the town?
Dawsonville.
Dawsonville, Georgia. His son, Chase, now is a great driver that I've got to know pretty well. But it was really cool for what Becky did for me in my life and career. I was always looking for ways to try to help repay what she did for me. Well, when I found out that Rick was such a big NASCAR fan, throughout the years, I've become great friends with Kevin Harvick. I'll never forget when I told you guys y'all were going up to the race. I believe it was in Charlotte or something y'all were going. And called Kevin and the guys, and they took them all back in the pits and took care. And Becky said that Rick was just so excited to be back there around all these...
I mean, he was like a kid in a candy store. He was so excited.
I wish I could have been there to see that, because those are the kind of things, like I said, I mean, there's nothing that I could ever do, Becky, to repay you for what you've brought to my life. And I feel, and it's not just the music. It's not just the way that I got a record deal. If I hadn't probably taken this path in life, and I would have never gotten to the point where I met my ex-wife, which is okay, because my ex-wife is the person that gave me my child. And now, like, the most important thing in my life, which is Pearl, stemmed from the decision that I made to move to Nashville and make this a career. Right. And you're a huge part of that. And I just, there's been so many different stories throughout the years as to how I got to where I am. And it definitely begins with walking in that bank at AmSouth on 17th Avenue and Music Row, and you saying hello to me. So I cannot thank you enough for that. And I was really excited today to share that story with everybody of how that happened. So it means the world to me. I hope you know that.
Yeah, I do. And I'm just glad that I could be a part of it, because at least it's been such a good road for you that you've gotten to experience this piece of life that so many people don't get the opportunity to see the good side of.
You're right. And I think, too, what is great is the things that we're talking about. You've also seen me throughout the years go through the ups and downs of it as well, because that's always going to be there in any sort of business. But
yes,
especially in this business, things are, and you guys know this, John Anthony, Keith Kaufman, that are here every week with us doing this. But y'all know, I mean, it's Nashville, as we've talked to Jimmy Allen last week. We've talked to Larry Fleet, some other artists I've had in here talking to them about what life is going to be like for them throughout the years. And there's going to be the ups and downs. And so I think coming from your perspective, too, as a banker, like, it's not just you might get a record deal and become rich, correct?
No, that doesn't happen.
Because my business manager, Jackie, calls and talks to you a lot. But it's not just personal stuff for me that Becky's helping us out with. I mean, we're paying for buses, mm-hmm. trucks, trailers, bus drivers, salaries for guys in the band. And then I'm always constantly thinking about, as you mentioned earlier, trying to keep my nose clean, you know, and stay and do the right thing. Because at the end of the day, I have a huge responsibility at this point now. When I met you, I was just a kid that didn't have any responsibility other than to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have a responsibility to maintain this career so I can help the guys in my crew and band feed their families and feed my own daughter. And that's a lot that comes along with somebody just giving a CD to somebody else.
And people don't think about that when they come to town with the dream. They're like, oh, I want to go sing and be a star, and I want to write songs, and I want to do this and that. And then when it hits, they're like, oh, crap, what do I do now? And if people don't have a good business manager and a good banker and a good PR person and all of these people to help them do it, then, you know, they can crash and burn fast.
Yeah. And I'm sure you deal with a lot of people coming to town that meet you. Just, I mean, since you've met me, I mean, have you dealt with any other artists, singer-songwriters that have come that you've watched grow in the same way?
I have. Not to the extent that you have grown, but there are some who are out there who are slowly moving up through the ranks that we see.
Right.
And
that's got to be exciting for you, too.
Yes. Because when you see them and they're starting to grow and they're getting their feet wet, and then they're starting to see that taste of success, and they're like, this is it. And you're like, wow, there they go. And you can just watch them and you're like, oh, look, they came to town, they had their dream, and they're finally seeing the fruits of their labor. And because they come in, and lots of them, they hit it so hard. But then you have some who are maybe these YouTube sensations that come in, and they're like, all of a sudden, boom, 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 they're going through there, and everything is so fast, they don't have time to think.
Which is why it goes back to what you said. You highly recommend having people around you that can keep things in check for you, whether it be business manager, a good banker.
Yes. You got to have all of these people to help you, keep you centered and on the right path, or you can get off that path really fast, and you can go from overnight YouTube sensation to nothing.
Right. Which is a scary thing.
Or one hit wonder to nothing.
Right.
I mean, if you've come in here and you've put in all the time, you definitely want to stay as long as you can stay, because you want the income you make to be able to supplement you for as many years as you can. And when you're young, you want to do it as long as you can. You want to be somebody who's going to be around for 20, 30 years.
And yeah, that's a career.
Right. Yeah. Because you don't want to be the one-hit wonder. You want to be the career person.
Yeah. And I can say very thankfully that I'm really proud of the career that I've put together with I put a tweet and an Instagram post yesterday out about this song going number one. And as I mentioned earlier, it's my seventh number one. It's kind of crazy to think that. But I've had a record deal since I was that 24-year-old kid that walked in and met you at the bank. And to think that 36 now, that was 12 years ago. It's funny, I had this conversation earlier with my manager, who will be probably mad that I'm throwing him under the bus. I'm not throwing him under the bus. It's just something to really talk about because I'm proud of it. He said, you know, man, we might be careful sometimes about always talking about that you've been doing this for 12 years because maybe that might make you sound old. And I told him, I said, you know, man, I see where he's coming from, but I'm really proud of what I've done in those 12 years because not every year of these last 12 years has been a number one song. There's been moments where, you know, I was going through a divorce and didn't know what was going to happen in my life and career, and it was everything starting to go downhill. And there were moments where I had songs that I released that didn't go number one. Quite frankly, they didn't even get into the 30s. But it's in those moments when things aren't going well that you really have to buckle down and find your purpose and what brought you here in the first place. And for some reason, and I can know those reasons, knowing people like yourself, Becky, having a family like I have, having people around me that are constantly, I can look at them and go, well, they're not giving up. They're working hard for me too. It's a team effort. And I said that in my Instagram and tweet yesterday. I said, even though I moved here on my own, there's absolutely no way that one man can do this by himself. It takes a team and an army of people to help. And so with that said, I appreciate you being on my team, Becky, and the same way that John and Keith are. And I'm so fortunate throughout the years to find people like yourselves to help surround myself with that constantly remind me of things that I need to be doing, or they applaud me on things that I have done. And because that's what real people are around you. And thank you again for taking time out of your day. I will tell you, my piece of advice to anybody moving to town is you go to Pinnacle Bank and you go see Becky McElwain and go see everybody over at Pinnacle Bank, because I really mean that too. Outside of even yourself, Becky, everyone over at Pinnacle has been nothing but great. And I would highly recommend anybody coming to town that feels a little lost or just needs some answers as to where, how to start, to go see you guys. So you are good company, Becky, and we love you, and you always have a place anywhere we are. And thanks for taking time out of your day to come and see us.
Well, thanks for letting me be a part of this today. It has been an absolute blast.
Well, thanks. I'm going to try to round up that old demo tape and see if I can get you a copy of it. I think I burned all of them because they were so bad. Well, that's Becky McElwain, my banker that got it all started for me. We appreciate you guys for always tuning in. We love you. We'll catch you in a couple weeks on another Tuesday. I'm Jake, and we'll play you.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and in the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school, like, yeah. Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro. That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.